Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Theater Podcast with Alan Seals. That's me, I'm Alan, your host. If you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you'll know that the tagline is intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. And this episode holds true to that, but these days I'm fortunate enough to be able to get some exclusive behind-the-scenes access to an entire production, which is what this episode is all about. You're about to hear mini interviews with the cast and crew of The Outsiders, a new musical from a recent press junket that they held in their rehearsal space. And I'll post the link to a little behind the scenes video I made while I was there in the room, and I'll drop that in the show notes, so make sure to check that. But first, in order to pay some bills, here's a quick commercial break.
Here you go. One, two, three.
In case you didn't know, The Outsiders musical is an adaptation of a book that was released originally in 1967 and is often required reading in high schools. The story takes place over 2 weeks following the life of a 14-year-old boy named Ponyboy Curtis and his struggles with right and wrong in a society in which he believes that he is an outsider. The story is still very much applicable today, you know, the need to belong to fit in, or being ostracized by others, having physical violence, being threatened. It's all still very much a part of the world now as much as it was back in 1967. But one of the great things about a show like this is that, especially for new Broadway performers and in those making their debuts, which most of this cast are, is that it's a story that truly allows them to reflect more on their own personal lives, their experiences, look inward and help them grow personally. And this is something that I tried to speak to the cast about. So here's Joshua Boone kicking us off.
Joshua Boone playing Dallas Winston. My connection was reading the book back in seventh grade. Like, it's the first novel I read.
Really?
The first novel I read from beginning to end. And I was drawn to it because it's the first time I experienced in any medium that, you know, white people could treat other white people the way I felt white people treated black people. Like, the Greasers were synonymous with my people. And it spoke to me. And I found out it was a musical through Brody Grant.
Side note, Brody Grant plays Ponyboy Curtis.
And we were doing a workshop of another show together.
Yeah.
And I haven't done a musical in quite some time, and he just spoke my name to, you know, Danya, and encouraged me to look into it, and just seeing information led me next to this guy, next to you talking about it now, and we're about to head to Broadway with it. So then,
thinking back to when you first read it in seventh grade and middle school and all that to now, like, what has changed about your perspective to the message? Has anything changed? And, like, have you learned about yourself through the process of actually being the characters versus reading about the characters in the book?
Yeah, I think the experience, unfortunately, is the same. My insight has strengthened. While it's unfortunate that the experience is the same, I'm grateful to see how connected we are, and the book helped me with that, to see that while the world has in some instances or degrees gotten worse, my understanding of humanity and how we're all connected regardless of our skin, gender identity, our economic situation. Like, we're way more alike than we'll ever differ, and nor did you ever choose anything that you identify as, for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't choose the skin you were born in. You just didn't, nor did I. And the book was an inlet to me understanding that, and I'm appreciative for that.
Yeah. That is beautiful.
Hi, my name is Emma Pittman, and I'm playing Cherry Valance.
Hi, I'm Tilly Evans-Krieger, and I am Ace and also one of the associate choreographers. Once I started this musical, I picked up the book immediately, and I've now read it several times. And it is just such a beautiful, heart-wrenching story that I can really relate to, and I wish that I had it when I was younger. I wish that I would have read it when I was younger, because I think it would have helped me through a lot of childhood.
Yeah, I read the book, I think, somewhere in the 9th or the 10th grade, and then my school did a play adaptation of the book. So I felt like I've been connected to this story for a really long time, and trusting who you are and all the different versions of yourself is very valuable. Like, when I was in the 10th grade, I wanted to be a Cherry. Like, in the play that we did. Like, I ended up playing Marsha, her best friend. So I got to see and experience all that Cherry was. And I was like, I can't explain it, but I know that's who I am. That's how I feel right now in the 10th grade. And so that's not necessarily how I feel now in my adult body, in my adult life, but I can connect to that Emma in the 10th grade and trust that she has the answers for me. And I don't have to overthink it or get in my head. I can just breathe, look at the great writing that Adam Rapp has given us, and just trust that it's on the page.
So I'm Ace, and she is a new character that we've written for this iteration of The Outsiders. And doing this has really brought back a lot of memories from earlier on in my life. But I have learned that I am a wild woman, and so I think that Ace represents the woman that runs with wolves.
But you personally are a wild woman, or Ace is a wild woman?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Come on. Well, yes. Yes, honey.
Yes, and.
Yeah. And I've just learned also through my lens as a black woman in this show to have compassion, because I have so many layers myself. Ace has so many layers herself that I now look at people and realize, wow, you must have so much multiplicity inside of yourself.
A cool little tangent that I got on with Brody Grant and Sky Lakota Lynch about how and why they continue to persevere in this incredibly tough industry.
My name is Brody Grant, and I play Ponyboy Curtis in The Outsiders.
I'm Sky Lakota Lynch, and I play Johnny Cade in The Outsiders.
And how long have the two of you been connected to the show?
I've been connected to the show for 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah, 6 years. I know.
Wow.
Since its baby, since its infancy,
Were you part of the original, the readings and the workshops and everything?
Yeah, I was a part of it since 2018, so it's been a journey to get here. Yeah.
Wow, and Brody, when did you come on?
I first auditioned in 2019, but I joined the cast about 2 years ago. Originally a soda pop, actually.
Really?
Which is a fun little...
Killer soda pop.
It was a good time. We got rowdy, you know. We sang some songs. We got rowdy. But, and then I think a little bit after that is when I switched to Ponyboy. It was like probably several months before we did the show in California.
So then for you, you've been in this show involved for 6 years. What's like one of the biggest differences from 6 years ago to what's about to open on Broadway?
I think it's just the show is evolving. You know, it's really hard to adapt anything, and especially a book written by a 14-year-old. So it's like really hard to find what we can put on the stage and what we can't put on the stage. And I think that we've mastered that now. I think the show has taken its time, which is like the most important thing, I think, for putting up an adaptation, is to let it cook. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the number one thing that's changed, is just what we can pull from the source material and what we have to leave alone.
That's interesting, though. And keep it on the six-year thing for a second. If I can ask, how old were you 6 years ago when you started?
I was 23.
So 23. All right.
Yeah.
So you're 29 now.
Yeah.
And then over time, like, did you think this was going to happen? How many projects have you been involved with throughout the time? Because I'm looking to get, like, that advice for people who are like, should I do it? Should I stick it out? This acting business is really hard.
Of course. I mean, yeah, it was really wild. You know, I was in Dear Evan Hansen when I was doing The Outsiders. I was doing double duty.
Oof.
And so it was really tiring. But at the same time, I just fell in love with the show. And it was the first book I ever read as a kid. And I knew I just felt in my gut that I was Johnny, you know, and I just never wavered. And the pandemic happened, and there was a lot of things that were up in the air, but I just stayed true to myself. Even in those moments where I just didn't even think the industry was going to come back, I was like, I know I'm going to do The Outsiders. Ooh. I know it. And I had to re-audition after it all was done. Yeah, I had to re-audition. So it was wild, but I just stayed true.
Wow.
And if you stick around the barbershop long enough, you're bound to get a haircut. That's what I always say.
I love that. Well, I need one now. Yeah, Brody. So you two, how long have you been like trying to do this and make acting a thing? Have you always known you wanted to be a performer?
I wouldn't say there was any, like, golden dream. I just knew that, like, I wanted to act, and I wanted to make music, and I wanted to write music, and I wanted to sing music, and I wanted to act in any way I can. And, like, on screen, on the stage, whichever, you know. And growing up in, you know, a small town in Georgia, is where I'm from, you know, I saw a lot of the professional theaters in Atlanta, and I was like, that's the goal, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what I
yeah.
want. And so to get to be here in this community of Broadway proper is like, it's a very beautiful thing. but I can say that, I mean, when I started performing, I think it was about, I think I was in middle school. Yeah, sixth grade when I started doing like the school play every mm-hmm. year. And then I really, really dug into it my freshman year of high school. So I guess it's about like 10 years. Yeah, 10 years running that I've just been like working towards this dream and like, yeah, whatever it would turn into, right. You know? Yeah.
That's, well, you never know what it's going to be. And it's about embracing the challenges and embracing the opportunities.
Embracing the unknown.
Like doing double duty while in Evan Hansen and taking a chance on this other thing that you never know if it's going to make it to Broadway.
Out. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on, everybody. We're just going to take a quick break. There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating! So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
All right, now we're back.
Hi, my name is Jason Schmitz, and I play Soda Pop Curtis. My dad read me The Outsiders when I was a really little kid. He read it to me and my three older sisters, and I remember it, like, viscerally. I remember all the images it gave me. I remember how it made me feel, and it was one of my mom's favorite movies.
My name is Brent Comer, and I play Daryl Curtis. I saw the movie first. The book was secondary to me. I read it in the seventh grade, but my first introduction was the movie. And I'm one of three brothers, so we did a lot of like self-projection onto the Curtis brothers, as I'm sure a lot of young people sort of do.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So then bringing your, I guess, a preconceived imagination of who the characters are and what they are into being able to actually put these characters on stage. Mm-hmm. Did you discover anything new about yourselves about the characters in translating it from written form into musical singing, dancing form?
Yeah. I actually got a soda bottle on my arm tattooed after La Jolla when I didn't think I was going to be able to do the show, because playing the role meant so much to me and it taught me so much about myself. And when I was playing the role, I felt so loose and open and free.
Yeah.
And it bled over into my real life, and it was just an amazing experience. So soda has taught me so much.
I think me as Brent and my character Daryl, we're two very different creatures. Like, Daryl is very grounded. He's very still. And I am very much not that way. I'm very much a very flighty, I could say like anxious person. So I think it's a really unique and special challenge as an actor to sort of find your strength and stillness and sort of find, you know, the perspective of stillness and how you see things through such a still and grounded point of view. It's been a really beautiful exercise for me. It's very much a you are enough kind of exercise.
My name is Dan Barry. I play Paul Holden. Well, when I first read it, I don't think I really understood how good the writing was. You know what I mean? I was a kid. I was in seventh grade, and I loved the book. I read it really easily. But now I look back at it, and it's from Ponyboy's perspective, a 14-year-old kid, and it's so truthful. The writing is so truthful. Like, he just talks and theorizes exactly like a kid would. And now that I'm older, I can, like, really relate with that and, like, see that and be like, wow, that's super incredible how Essie Hinton captured that. So I would say that, yeah.
I'm Kevin William Paul. I play Bob, Robert Sheldon, with the roles, both in how we're telling it and in the book and talking with Hinton and everything. There's within all the constraints and being a kid, you would think, you know, how much do we really know at that age? But we know and feel so much,
yeah.
And we don't always have the tools to express that.
That's what I was going
to
say. Yeah.
And so I just find that it's really exciting with song to be able to express that with words and the dexterity of how we affect someone on the stage. And then what's so exciting is the audience is going to be there and they're going to be part of that story with us. And that's what I'm really excited for, is like a New York audience to feel that, yeah, that energy. And whether it's roaring noise and laughter or whether it's dead silence, that's really the final piece, you know?
Yeah, the audience is always the final character, mm-hmm, of any of this.
Yeah, and it's never had an audience. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the book, yeah, to the story, to the film, like it's never had a live audience to absorb the story. And I think that's really unique.
That's a really good point. And so as you're being part of this whole process to put it on its feet for the very first time, and also being your Broadway debuts, yeah, is this, you're originating characters, right? Which is like every actor's dream,
yeah,
I would assume.
Yeah.
And what have you learned about yourself throughout this whole process, both as first-time Broadway debuters and also as character originators?
Oh gosh, I think you know, I had an opinion about Broadway rooms before I was in them, and Danya runs such a beautiful, grounded human rehearsal room. Like, we all are just such great friends, and we use our relationships and who we are as people to then reflect against our characters. And in doing Paul, I've noticed that like so much of myself has come out in portraying him. So I would say that Broadway is, it's better than I ever imagined it could be, and I'm just so, you know, honored and blessed to be here.
I've learned so much. I mean, so playing Bob, you know, there's a lot of darkness in there. There's a lot of light. There's gold in the story, right? But there's a lot of darkness, and we're going to go so high, and then we're going to go so low. It's a challenge that I've loved embracing. I remember in my final callback, I was going in for a few different roles, and Danya looked at me in front of all of the rest of the creative team and said, are you like really down to do this? Really down to go there to carry this burden? What I'm asking of you is something that is very specific. And of course, in the moment, I said, are you kidding me?
I got this.
Are you kidding me? You know, I walked out with a little laugh and a smile. Yeah, I'm like skipping down the street like, am I ready? Are you ready? But the reality is, you know, we can't prepare for how a story or a role will affect us, especially when we live in it for a time. And now that I've had time to marinate and sit with it from La Jolla to now, who I am has shifted.
Hmm.
How I feel the role, some days it feels a little further away, some days it feels real close, and all the different sides and approaches have taught me a lot about myself and about the fact that we can really embrace all of ourselves, and it's really just the choice of how do we choose to take action in a moment rather than denying that we all have light and dark within all of us.
You've heard her name mentioned a few times so far by the cast. So now, as we switch over to our interviews with the creatives, first up is director Danya Taymor. Also, good news, I already have a confirmed recording with Danya for a solo episode coming up very soon, so stay tuned for that.
My name is Danya Taymor, and I'm the director of The Outsiders. It's a story about what it means to survive and to make it through when the unimaginable happens and then happens again and then happens again. I think that the resilience depicted in the story is amazing and inspiring. And then I think the authenticity of what it feels like and what it is to be a teenager really spoke to me.
Were you a teenager when you read the book? Did you read it before?
I didn't read it before. I obviously knew about it. I'd heard about it. I never got assigned it in my public school. So my first encounter of the story was through the musical. So I read and listened to it all the way through, and then I read the book.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I read the book in one sitting. And then I've read it a lot of times, and I've also read all of her other books at this point, but that first read of the novel was, I can still remember it. The characters in Susie's book are definitely our North Star, so we're not making something that isn't of the book. But when Susie Hinton spoke to us at first rehearsal, she said to the actors, do your version, don't try to be Matt Dillon, don't try to be Ralph Macchio, make this your own. And so, you know, the book is our touchstone, and the characters in the book are, and then we adapt it from there, and we bring what each actor has, and their selves, and their past, and their experiences, and their gifts, and we kind of fuse that with the character. And so I'm encouraging them to make it their own and to join with the character, but not to, you know, diverge from the soul of what Essie Hinton wrote.
And so a lot of the subject matter, I mean, especially with going on in this 2024 as a recording, there's a very heated election about to come up. There's a lot of racial things, a lot of issues going on in society in general. When rehearsals started, how did you address, as like a creative team with the cast and with each other, how did you sort of address this underlying, I mean, without keeping it an elephant in the room, how did you bring it to the forefront and say, like, we're going to talk about these issues?
I think one of the most amazing things about her novel is that it resonates with people across gender, race, class, political ideology, across everything. You know, there's this amazing rapper named Killer Mike who loves The Outsiders, and his youngest son is named Ponyboy, and I read this interview he did where he was like, when I read it, I saw them as black. And I think that is an amazing thing about the book, that one can project their own identity onto it. And so in our room, and with this production, I hope that people can take it and cast it many different ways authentically. So this is not colorblind casting. This production is cast this way, and we are really digging into the history of Tulsa, digging into the very American knot of class and race, which has been part of this country since its inception. We're working with this amazing anthropologist named Dr. Michael Ralph. He is a professor at Howard, and he's in our room helping us do research about Tulsa and research about this time in Tulsa. So these conversations, of course, come up. They're part of what we're trying to investigate and expose, and I think part of what Susie Hinton was interested in as well.
I was very impressed with how Essie Hinton, the original author of the Outsiders book, was at rehearsals, at least in the beginning, working directly with Danya and the team.
She's available to me. I can pick up the phone and call her or email her.
So cool.
We just went and saw her in Tulsa. She loves the cast. I think, you know, she loves artists, but there's no artist she loves more than actors. And so to be around them is amazing for her. But she also, when I met her in Tulsa the first time, said, have your vision. Have your vision and go for it. The story is there for you, so take that and hold on to it, but have a vision. So she came and saw the show a few times in La Jolla. We just saw her. She'll come to New York. So it is incredible to be able to be in collaboration with the source.
Hang on, everybody. We're just going to take a quick break. There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating! So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. All right, now we're back.
Hey, I'm Jeff Cooperman, and I'm one of the choreographers.
Hey, I'm Rick Cooperman, also choreographing.
Wait, are you guys related?
No. We are. We're brothers.
I had read a lot of Adam Rapp's plays in college and studied his work pretty deeply. And so reading his script adaptation of this was incredible. It was so raw, visceral. I was like, this is going to be an incredible show.
Well, then how do you translate that into movement and into, dance interpretation? Because it seems so specific to take such a hard subject matter, something that is so serious, and turn it into like this big, I mean, for the lack of anything else, Broadway has to be big, right? Totally. It has to sell.
Totally.
Like, otherwise, you're not going to last. So how do you take this these little book I put in quotes and turn it into a big, big budget Broadway musical?
Right on. Well, we started with exploring how we were going to stage the Rumble, because it's such an iconic piece from the book. And once we were able to crack open that vocabulary, it informed how the rest of the show was going to move and dance and interact with scenery, etc. So, that was our starting point.
What did you both learn about yourselves in this process?
I learned how gratifying it is when a creative team can truly meld and have an open conversation, dialogue, and an open process about crafting a show from all different angles. It makes getting up in the morning and being in the room so much more exciting and makes you rearing to go.
I am Jonathan Clay, one of the composers on The Outsiders and one member of Jamestown Revival.
I'm Zach Chance. I'm also a composer in the other half of Jamestown Revival.
Composing for a story like The Outsiders comes with its fair share of pressure. It feels like, 100-pound weight on your shoulders. But I think, honestly, you can't think about it too much, because art needs to come from your heart and from your gut and from your soul. And I think if you add too much of your brain into that mixture, it'll mess up the equation.
Ooh.
And so we didn't think too hard about the pressure. We just tried to write songs from first person, from these characters, and get into their minds and give them a voice.
Yeah, I think if you dwell on that too much, it can be paralyzing. So we just, it's like one foot in front of the other. We need a song here, so let's write a song for this, and then let's just keep going, and we'll storyboard and figure it out. But if you telescope out too much, it's overwhelming.
My name is Justin Levine, and I am one of the composers and book writers of the show.
And my name is Adam Rapp, and I am one of the book writers of The Outsiders.
When you're putting this all together, looking back at the process from when you first started to now, like, has it always been what I assume to be this easy, like working with your collaborators?
No, in the beginning we had a different director. I think bringing Danya on has allowed us all to feel, she's very welcoming to, you know, like, multiplicitous collaborations. Like, she knows it, right? For instance, Justin has worn many hats. I've worn many hats. At one point, Danya and I were directing, each directing a play in the same space and sharing that space. So she knows me as a director. I know her as a director of straight plays. We know Justin as not only a songwriter, but as like the greatest piano player in the world, like, who also can talk about the language. You can talk about the history of musical theater. Jamestown, even though they'd never really done theater before, can like look at a scene now and say, like, I'm not sure I believe what he's saying there. You know, there's something about all of us kind of being open to that expansion, which has made it like a pleasurable experience.
Yeah. And what was your first exposure with the actual, with the subject material? Did you read the books as children?
We both read them.
Yeah?
Yeah. Adam read it in sophomore year. I have that right?
I was at
each other's.
All right. Justin, I think, read it in eighth grade at Miss Effeminism. What was her name?
La Femina.
Miss La Femina's.
Miss La Feminism.
Miss La Femina's English class. And he had like an incredible first kind of reader experience with it. And he's a kid from Long Island who hadn't been exposed to these kind of kids. And he just felt like totally captured by it.
And Adam read it his sophomore year at St. John's Military Academy in Wisconsin. And he it was part of a great books class. And it was second book on the list. He was reading Catcher in the Rye. And his copy of Catcher in the Rye, either it was stolen or he lost it. I've heard two versions now today. And
I lost it in my bed.
Yeah. And then so he picked up The Outsiders. And the rest is history.
What is something, as two of the lead creatives on this project, what's something that you hope audiences will take away after they see this, whether they know the subject material or not? What's something that you know they're going to walk away with?
The notion of grief and sadness and the life in the play, the death in the play, like the extremes of the drama, I think are going to really flatten people and also inspire people. I feel like one of the great messages at the end is like Ponyboy goes through some really tough stuff and then he puts pen to paper and he starts to process it, and that becomes his spiral notebook filled with words, which becomes essentially S.E. Hinton's novel called The Outsiders.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about creation and moving through grief and sadness and finding your voice as an artist that is really, really inspiring. I hope people walk away with that.
Same. I hope people see this show as an outlet, you know, as a way to feel more seen and therefore less alone.
And that's it for the episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. This podcast would not exist without you. Make sure to follow me and the podcast on all the socials at @theater_podcast. Thanks to Jukebox the Ghost for the podcast music.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.